I'm Sarah Nickerson, I say, giving in. Sarah, we've been expecting you. Glad you finally came in. Now he's grinning at me like we're old friends, making me feel uneasy and like it's time to excuse myself and take my chances dodging cars in the parking lot. You have? Yup. We met your lovely mother a few weeks ago. She already filled out most of your paperwork. Oh, now I get it. And of course she did. I'm sorry, she didn't need to do that. Don't be sorry. We're ready to get you on the mountain whenever you are. But you're right, you're not a skier anymore, at least not for now. Here we go. Here comes the inspiring and persuasive sales pitch about the wonderful and miraculous ski sled. I start brainstorming effective ways to interrupt him and politely communicate, "Not in a million years, mister," without insulting him and before he wastes too much of his breath and my time. "You're a snowboarder," he says, dead serious. Not what I was expecting to hear at all. Not in a million years. "I'm what?" "You're a snowboarder. We can get you on a snowboard today, if you're game." "But I don't know how to snowboard. We'll teach you." "Is it a normal snowboard?" I ask, seeing the way out. "It's got a couple of extra bells and whistles, but yeah, it's a regular snowboard," he says. I throw him the same look that Charlie and Lucy give me when I tell them that broccoli is delicious. "What's normal, anyway? Everyone needs equipment to get down the mountain. Normal's overrated, if you ask me," he says. Normal's overrated. The exact words Miss Gavin used when talking about Charlie, and I agreed with her. My face softens, like I'm considering how delicious broccoli might be with a little Parmesan cheese sprinkled on it, and Mike sees his opening. "Come on, let me show it to you." My intuition tells me to trust him, that this man knows a lot more about me than my name and whatever my mother might have told him. "Okay." He claps his hands together. "Great, follow me." He walks past the veteran in the wheelchair and over to the doorway of an adjacent room, too quickly for me to keep up with him. He waits in the threshold, watching me walk, assessing me. Cane, step, drag. Probably reconsidering this whole snowboarding idea. Cane, step, drag. Probably thinking that the ski sled would be a better fit for me. Cane, step, drag. I can feel the veteran watching me too, and he probably agrees. I look up at the wall in front of me and notice a poster of someone on the mountain skiing in a ski sled, his musher skiing behind him. Panic starts racing willy-nilly through my head, begging any part of me that might listen to reason to tell Mike that I can't follow him, that I have to go, that I'm supposed to meet my husband in the lodge, that I have to get back to my word search puzzles, that I have somewhere else I need to be right now. But I say nothing and follow him into the adjacent room. The room looks like a storage warehouse crammed with modified ski and snowboard equipment. I see lots of ski poles of varying heights affixed with miniature skis on the bottoms, wooden dowels with tennis balls stuck to the ends, all kinds of boots and metal hardware. When I come face to face with a long row of ski sleds lined up against the wall in front of me, my panic can't take it anymore and whips into a full-blown tantrum. "This is the one I'd like to start you on." As I scan to the left, trying to locate Mike, his white teeth, and the ski sled he wants to start me on, I feel increasingly lightheaded. I should have stayed in the lodge with my People magazine and my word searches. I should have gone home with my mother and taken a nap. But when I find him, he's not standing next to any of the ski sleds. He's in front of a snowboard. My panic sits down and quiets itself, but it remains skeptical and on alert and isn't one bit embarrassed or apologetic for the false alarm. From what little I know about snowboards, this one looks mostly normal. A metal hand railing is screwed into the board in front of the boot bindings, extending up to about waist height, reminding me of a grab bar. But otherwise, it looks like a regular snowboard. "What do you think?" he asks. "It's not horrible, but I don't understand why you think I'm a snowboarder. You can't keep track of your left leg, right? So let's essentially get rid of it. We'll lock it in place next to your right leg on the board. And there you go. You don't have to drag it or lift it or steer it anywhere." That does sound appealing. But how would I turn? Ah, this is also why you're a snowboarder. Skiing is about shifting balance left to right, but snowboarding is shifting your balance back and forth. He demonstrates, pushing his hips forward and then sticking his bottom out, bending his knees in both positions. Here, give me your hands. Give it a try. He faces me, grabs my hands, and holds my arms out in front of me. I try to copy what he did, but even without a mirror in front of me to see myself, I can tell that whatever I'm doing looks more like Martin Short imitating something sexual than like someone snowboarding. Sort of, he says, trying not to laugh. Imagine you're squatting over a public toilet seat that you don't want to sit on. That's back. Then imagine you're a guy peeing for distance in the woods. That's front. Try it again. Still holding onto his hands, I'm about to rock forward, but I freeze up, feeling funny about my pretending to pee on Mike. Sorry, my description's a little graphic, but it works. Forward and up on your toes, back and sitting on your heels. I give it another go. I send my right hip forward and then back, forward and then back. And unlike when I move my right leg or my right hand, when I move my right hip, my left hip goes with it. Always. If this is how to steer a snowboard, then it seems as though I could do it. But what about stopping? How would I control my speed? This rider bar here is for your balance, like how you're holding onto my hands right now. But to begin with, it's also for one of us instructors to hold onto. If we go up today, I'll snowboard facing you, and I'll control how fast you go. When you've got your balance down, we'll transition you to one of these. He shows me another snowboard. This one doesn't have a grab bar, and at first I don't notice anything special about it. Then Mike loops a black cord through a metal loop attached to one end of the board. Instead of me pushing against you from the front, I'll hold on to this tether from behind you to help regulate your speed. I imagine a dog on a leash. And then, from there, you'll do it on your own. He whips the tether out of the loop as if to say, ta-da, a normal snowboard. But how would I keep from crashing into other people on the trail? If I'm concentrating on anything, I can't see things on my left. He smiles, recognizing that he's got me imagining myself on the mountain. That's my job until you can do it on your own. And when you try it without the rider bar, you can transition into using an outrigger if you want, he says, now holding up a ski pole with a small ski attached to the bottom. This would give you an additional point of contact with the ground, like your cane does, offering you some extra stability. I don't know, I say. I search around for another but I can't find any. Come on, let's give it a try. It's a beautiful day, and I'd love to get out there, he says. You said that my mother filled out most of my paperwork, I say, turning over my last stone of possible resistance. Ah, yes. There are a couple of standard questions we always ask that only you can answer. Okay. What are your short-term winter sports goals? I think. As of a few minutes ago, my only goal for today was to go for a walk. To snowboard down the hill without killing myself or anyone else? Great. We can accomplish that. And how about long-term goals? I guess to snowboard without needing any help. And eventually I want to ski again. Perfect. Now, how about life goals? What are your short-term life goals? I don't quite see how this information would in any way affect my ability to snowboard, but I have a ready answer, so I offer it to him. To go back to work. What do you do? I was the vice president of human resources for a strategy consulting firm in Boston. Wow, sounds impressive. And what are your long-term goals? Before the accident, I'd been hoping to be promoted to president of human resources in the next 2 years. Bob and I were saving to buy a bigger house in Wellmont with at least 5 bedrooms. We planned to hire a live-in nanny. But now, since the accident, those goals seem a little irrelevant, if not ridiculous. To get my life back. All right, Sarah. I'm so glad you came in. You ready to go snowboarding with me? Spent from all the unnecessary distress, my panic is now snuggled in a soft blanket and sleeping peacefully. Pre-accident me isn't jumping up and down about this idea, but she isn't arguing against it either, and Bob isn't here to weigh in, so it's up to me. Okay, let's do it.